The epistle for the second Sunday of Advent is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 15. Brethren, what things soever were written for our learning, that through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind, one towards another, according to Jesus Christ, that with one mind and with one mouth you may glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive one another as Christ also hath received you unto the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus was minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, but that the Gentiles are to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore will I confess to thee, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and will sing to thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and magnify him, all ye peoples. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise up to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. Now the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 11. At that time, when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, sending two of his disciples, he said to him, art thou he that art to come, or do we look for another? And Jesus, making answer, said to them, go and relate to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise again, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he that shall not be scandalized in me. And when they went their way, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the desert to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft garments. Behold, they that are clothed in soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I tell you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my angel before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And when they went their way, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the desert to see? A reed shaken with the wind. Words taken from today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The movie For Greater Glory portrayed the persecution of Catholics in Mexico in the late 1920s. Mexico was a predominantly Catholic country when the persecution broke out, but the president of Mexico, a man by the name of Calles, who was a communist and a militant anti-Catholic, who believed in the satanic doctrine of Karl Marx, determined to destroy the Catholic Church in Mexico. And thus he opened the bloody persecution in which thousands of Catholics were put to death. But the Catholic bishops, priests, and people persevered in their faith. In fact, thousands of Catholics organized themselves and called themselves Cristeros. And their mission, of course, was to fight for Christ, the King, and his church, to preserve their faith and their families. And when the persecution ended in 1929, it is estimated that 50,000 federal troops of the communist regime were killed in action. 30,000 Cristeros and 10,000 priests and religious were martyred for their faith. But during the movie For Greater Glory, there was a scene which showed the heroic courage of one of the priests who was martyred. The priest depicted in the scene was Father Christopher. The soldiers were marching into the village where Father Christopher was the parish priest to enforce the mandate that ordered the closing of all churches. And the parish priest was a venerable elderly priest. One of the altar boys, according to the film, approached the priest and warned him of the approach of the soldiers. And the movie depicts the boy pleading with the priest to follow him to his home, where he would be able to safely hide until the danger had passed. But the priest had no intention of leaving the church. He would not abandon his Lord and Master in the tabernacle. The courageous priest chose to undergo martyrdom rather than hide out of fear. And so he made known his intention to the boy that he would remain in the church. Looking at the boy who would one day himself follow his footsteps to martyrdom, the priest said, "Nothing is more glorious than to die for Christ." And then he told the boy to run home and hide before it was too late. Shortly after, soldiers arrived and arrested the priest. The priest, wearing his black vestments, was then led by the soldiers outside the church. And they then made the priest stand before the church with the firing squad made ready. And moments later, shots were fired. And the lifeless body of the priest fell to the ground. And his soul, at that point, entered into a greater glory, into eternal glory for having died for Christ. The gospel for the second Sunday of Advent is the description of our Lord, of St. John the Baptist. And at the time, our Lord was explaining to the people the life of St. John the Baptist. St. John was in prison. He was imprisoned because of his unwavering devotion to the truth. St. John had told Herod Antipas, who was the ruler of Galilee, that it was a sin for him to take the wife of his brother. And so on account of St. John's bold defense of the commandments of God, he was imprisoned. But because the people loved and revered St. John the Baptist, Herod was reluctant to put him to death. And it was not until later that Herod ordered St. John the Baptist to be beheaded. That's why in the gospel, St. John could not himself go to our Lord, but rather had to send two of his disciples for him. And when the disciples left our Lord and returned to St. John, our Lord explained to the people what kind of person he was. Who was St. John the Baptist? He said that the Baptist was the precursor of himself, that is Christ. He was the great prophet who came before our Lord to prepare the people for him. So our Lord asked a few questions to the multitudes. He said, "What went you out into the desert to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went you out to see? A prophet?" And our Lord said, "I tell you, and more than a prophet." Our Lord praised and extolled St. John the Baptist, particularly because of his stance for the truth. He perfectly fulfilled his mission as the forerunner of the Messiah. St. John fulfilled his mission because he was not a reed shaken in the wind. In other words, he'd never wavered when it came to the truth. He would simply state the truth. When he was questioned about the lawfulness of Herod's adulterous union, St. John stated the truth. And for speaking the truth, he was not only imprisoned, but also beheaded. St. John was not a weak reed that bowed to the ungodly and unbelieving people of the world. Rather, he stood up for the true faith. St. John stood up for morality. He stood strong against those who ridiculed and mocked the true religion. His courage was as immovable as a mountain. And that becomes more readily perceptive in relationship to the Psalms, where it says in Psalm 103, "Above the mountains shall the waters stand." He was an exemplary model of courage in practicing the Catholic faith because of his stance for the truth. Courage is one of the four cardinal virtues: prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude, or courage. And they are called cardinal because all the virtues hinge upon them, from the Latin word cardinal, which means hinge. And courage, defined as a virtue, is that which strengthens the irascible appetite and will. It is the virtue which enables one to continue its pursuit of difficult good, even in the face of the greatest dangers of bodily life. Courage gives a person the ability to face death in the midst of the greatest of trials. It gives a person the ability to face even all of the normal tribulations which come to us during the day. The opposite of courage being an inordinate fear. It is the dread of suffering. And the inordinate fear can lead us to actually back down in the face of our duties and turn away from obligations which we have to perform. Rather, courage is what gives us the strength to overcome these weaknesses. And we have to remember that it does not mean that we cannot or that we will not feel the fear. There is a distinction. It means that if we use our will, which is strengthened by the supernatural virtue of fortitude or courage, that we can by that override all fear. Courage helps us confront anything, even death itself. And that's why the supreme act of courage or fortitude is martyrdom. My dear friends, in the day in which we live, we are not faced now with martyrdom like Father Christopher in the 1920s in the Mexican bloody persecution. It is possible anything can happen. God's ways are not our ways. But what is imminent, what we do face on a daily basis, are many trials and tribulations which do feel like a martyrdom. They can be more difficult to bear because martyrdom, in many instances, is completed instantaneously. But our virtue is put to test. It is called upon to defend the faith. And even if we are not called to this glorious end of martyrdom, we still have to be as strong as those who are called to martyrdom. We have to have as much courage to face down the temptations of life. And especially today is this so in the face of so many assaults against our faith, so many attacks against our morals, which we believe, profess, and practice. And that's perhaps why Holy Mother Church gives us this gospel today, during the preparations for the coming of our Savior. To follow the faith, to follow the courage of St. John the Baptist, and to think that if Father Christopher, one of tens of thousands of priests, religious, could undergo martyrdom at that point in time, then anyone who professes the same faith to which he professed can do the very same thing. We must not be afraid to defend our Catholic faith when it is mocked, perhaps, by others in the workplace. We must not be afraid to defend our Catholic morals when we are talking with others and they say things which demand that we defend them. If they mock what we do, we have to be strong enough to continue doing what we do. We can't back down and quit practicing our morals. The world may mock us. It will mock us. It does. And it even does when we publicly make a profession for it. They'll sometimes even be moved more towards mockery. But that should make us move more towards practicing our morals. When we make the sign of the cross in public, say our grace before and after meals in public, where our scapular is showing. The world may mock us when we do not laugh at impure jokes or watch their impure television programs, movies, anything on social media that is of an impure nature. We will be mocked for going against the current, to refuse to listen to immoral music will bring upon us the attacks of others. That's why we have to practice courage. Fortitude is so necessary. We have to be like unto a mountain in the midst of the waves of immorality. And today, it is more necessary than ever for our young Catholic people. They are under great pressure to go along with the world. They're under a lot of pressure to compromise their Catholic faith, their morals, during times of temptation. But may parents be courageous in instilling into their children, both by word and example. Very important. To love and cherish their faith. If parents give their children a love for morals, for morality. And may we all ask the most blessed Virgin Mary during this time of preparation for the coming of the Christ child, to ask her, the mother of our Savior, to obtain from her divine infant Son the grace that we may never be ashamed of our one true Catholic faith, like Father Christopher, but rather always and everywhere strive to practice true Catholic morality. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.